Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Wednesday, April 10, 2024. The UN Secretary General calls on South Sudan's transitional government of national unity to speed up in complete benchmarks in the 2018 peace agreement.
UN, we have not requested Guterres to supply us with the registrars. We have registrars in this country. We have not requested anything from the UN to help us. There should be no any sign of alarm from the UN.
And South Sudanese living in Kenya say their country is not ready for democracy.
For the future of democracy in South Sudan, it's very important that the leaders, the president and those involved, especially also the parliament, they have to make sure they enact laws. They enact laws that are in favor of the interests of the majority.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some South Sudanese living in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, say they worry about the fate of democracy in their country. They say the country is not ready for December elections, adding that the future of democratic governance in South Sudan is uncertain. Sunday William Mabor reports for VOA from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
Simon Lodai Salvatore, a South Sudanese living in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, says the transitional government of national unity must uphold democratic principles and foster a society where the voices of the people are heard and respected.
For the future of democracy in South Sudan, it is very important that the leaders, the president and those involved, especially also the parliament, they have to make sure they enact laws. They enact laws that are in favor of the interests of the majority. Right now, we have how many South Sudanese are out of the country, and who cares about them? You know, nobody cares about the ones in the camp in Kakuma, the ones in Uganda, the ones in maybe in diaspora. Nobody cares about them. Some of them die there of hunger. Some of them are mistreated there, and nobody cares. And we are saying we are a democratic country. We work for the interest of all. Whose interest are you? Do you mind about the interest of these people? No, you don't.
Salvatore calls on the government to draft a permanent constitution that protects the rights of the South Sudanese.
A democratic country should be able to have a constitution, and these constitutions should be able to suit the interest of every person. So not only suit the interest of one person, of one party, of one clique or group of the country.
John Dao Makwaich, another South Sudanese living in Nairobi, says the people of South Sudan should work towards creating a political environment that safeguards the interests of present and future generations.
Every South Sudanese should see him or herself as a citizen of that country. Okay. A system whereby you'll have freedom of speech, a system whereby you can speak, at least to express yourself, and as well also a system of movement. The other thing also in our country, everyone become like a military person, you know. Guns are everywhere in the country, and therefore you'll be targeted. You are not free in your own country.
Many South Sudanese fled to Kenya during multiple conflicts in the country. Some settled in the towns across Kenya, while others went to Kakuma refugee camp. Mark Odhuok fled to Kenya during the South Sudan's 2013 conflict. Odhuok says authorities in South Sudan should allow freedom of association and expression, as well as free media and civic space, so that political parties can freely participate in democratic discourse.
In our country, the soldiers should not interfere with democracy. Okay. Because if soldiers come in, then there will be no democracy there. You know, I don't know how can we call that kind of democracy. Is it a military democracy or a civilian democracy? That is something we need to avoid. We need to ensure that there is freedom of association. Political parties should be given political space to go out and sell their manifestos to the citizens of the country.
Adwok adds that the wide availability of guns and ammunition in South Sudan could threaten the country's future democracy. He says some South Sudanese living in Kenya want to return to their home country, but they want to see that there is a rule of law, transparency, accountability, and political representation. For VOA News, I am William Sandemabur in Nairobi, Kenya.
Still on issues to do with democracy and elections, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has written to the President of the UN Security Council to express his views about South Sudan's preparations for elections in December 2024. Guterres' 8-page document highlighted crucial incomplete benchmarks for successful elections in South Sudan. But South Sudan's Minister for Foreign Affairs, James Petia Morgan, says the UN should mind its own business and stop interfering into South Sudan's affairs.
Let me start with the technical preparedness. The technical preparedness is what we are working on, and it has been done. I also believe that you have read the letter of the Deputy Speaker of the National Legislative Assembly, Honorable Nathaniel Oyet, which he addressed to the Minister of Finance after receiving some funds, which is meant to address the issues that is raised, which also include training and so on. These funds are now available, though it was not fully paid according to Oyet's letter, but that is the beginning.
If you have not received the funds that were budgeted for this election, if you have received partial funds, how is that going to affect the smooth running or the smooth preparations?
It doesn't matter, because all these things are not being done at once. They are going, and that is not the end of releasing of the funds. But the good thing is that the releasing of funds has started. That is a good sign. Even if the money is released all at the same time, I believe that they will not all do the same thing at the same time.
But looking at the logistical challenges in South Sudan and the vastness and the remoteness of the country, time is not on your side.
I don't understand what really the other people around the globe think about South Sudan. Because Brother John, the assessment teams have come here several times, and I will count for you the assessment teams that have come to South Sudan. We have the regional bodies. First of all, before we go to the UN, we have to deal with our regional bodies. The African Union is very clear. The IGAD is very clear. All the regional issues, all the continental issues, when the region and when the continent is satisfied, the UN is dependent on these organs. But what surprises us in South Sudan, the UN should not even be talking about elections in South Sudan directly with South Sudan. They should talk to these regional organizations to give them the assessment which is done by the regional organizations.
We don't need a new colonization of Africa in that sense. We have regional bodies which are responsible for African issues. Like what African Union says, that African problems needs African solutions. But these people in the UN, we are not refusing to work with them. But they should not come to us directly. Why don't they ask the panel of the wise before UN even comes in? Is there any issue of concern that brings the UN in now?
Fair to your point, but you're a member of the United Nations. You raised your flags.
Exactly.
At the UN headquarters. Now you are saying the UN should not be involved into your affairs. What kind of...
No, I'm not saying UN. I didn't say that the UN should not get involved. I'm saying we have the regional bodies. And these regional bodies are working with us directly.
The regional bodies, yes. IGAD and the African Union have worked with you from 2017 and 2018. The peace agreement that you signed in Addis Ababa has been in your hands for quite a long time.
Now I got your point. Does the UN now is dismissing these regional organizations? UN is dismissing the regional organizations, so the UN want to work with us directly?
I don't speak.
But this is what we are following. We are also, my brother, we are also following what UN always says. If there is an issue like last time when they were putting South Sudan into the sanctions or the arms embargo and whatever, they always say, if the region agrees, we will go with the region. The Secretary General for the Horn of Africa, Madam Hanna Atete, was here on the ground, and she briefed the Secretary General himself of what she saw. What is really going on here?
I wasn't there during the briefing, but this letter from UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres speaks about the reality on the ground. You're saying you are serious, you are working on everything to ensure the elections are done. You have not even started registering your voters. You're supposed to have registered the voters by June 24. You have not started and you're telling me everything is flowery.
Exactly. UN, we have not requested Guterres to supply us with the registrars. We have registrars in this country. We have not requested anything from the UN to help us. There should be no any sign of alarm from the UN. If Anna Tete, representing Guterres in the Horn of Africa, is not giving him the right information, which I believe is not true. Anna Tete herself was here for a week. She went to Malakal, she went everywhere, and she came. And she went to UN, and she went to New York, to the UN headquarters, and she briefed him. The only thing that Brother John, which is going about South Sudan, is that there is a hidden hand which doesn't like really South Sudan to progress. And this one, I'm telling you, no diplomacy here. I'm telling you the truth that there is a hidden hand.
The document you signed, RRSS, you signed that document and it had benchmarks, what you should do, when, but this letter from UN Secretary General is reminding you that you signed and committed yourself to do A, B, C, D. But it looks like time is no longer on your side. You need to...
No, we have time. This is April, where our elections is not tomorrow. Our elections is up to December. We also know that the elections is a process that we have been doing up to this time. That is why we are going to do it. So the problem that I'm concerned, John, before we conclude this conversation, I'm very much concerned. Why is it that anything in South Sudan is a concern of the UN? We don't like to go to war. UN has been pushing us with so many things. It doesn't now like to talk to even to the regional organizations. The UN is dismissing IGAD, is dismissing African Union, is dismissing the Panel of the Wise, is dismissing even its own representative who he has sent to the Horn of Africa.
The letter here did not dismiss African Union, did not dismiss any efforts. The letter here is reminding the government of South Sudan some of the commitments have not been fulfilled.
My job is to tell the reality, because this is my country, and I must make sure that my country is going on well, and I'm making sure also that the policies of this country have changed. If your child has made a mistake when he was young, you cannot continue punishing this child all the way until this child has got his own family. UN is doing that, the same thing to us.
The UN representative that the Secretary General of the UN himself appointed for the Horn of Africa are more closer to us than somebody living in New York. We are working together.
And you say the political parties are dialoguing to agree on a workable solution to move forward. The UN Secretary General raised a point here which I would like to bring to your attention, that political and civic space and level playing field is what you should work on. I'm bringing this issue because just last week, the former mayor of Juba was picked at gunpoint and the government is tight-lipped. Is that the kind of democracy you are going into when people speak and they are picked?
Thank you very much for bringing up the issue of the mayor of Juba. The issue of the mayor of Juba, up to today, we are following it up, but it was involving some other issues which are a security issue. We, as a government, we are waiting for security to finish their work of investigation. Once they finish the investigation, the issue will come out from the security to us, and then we will look into it. The best thing is that I can tell you that the mayor, after the last time you asked me, I told you, Brother John, the issue of mayor at that time was not clear to me. I didn't know whether the mayor was picked up from his house or at gunpoint or what. I was not aware. But later on, I phoned out. I also talked to the security people. I said, what happened? The security people told me, Minister, the mayor was having some accusations that I accused. So we are here to clear him. We are not arresting somebody to kill or to torture. We are here to get his statement so that he can prove himself innocent. And then after that, if we prove that what is he said about him is not true, we will release him. But if you find that there are some other issues, then he will be taken to the court of law. But the people should not just see whatever happens in South Sudan is taken very negatively.
That's South Sudan's Minister of Foreign Affairs, James Petia Morgan. He spoke with me from Juba earlier today. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has extended Eid al-Fitr al-Mubarak wishes to Muslim communities around the world while expressing sorrow over the ongoing conflicts in Sudan, marking 1 year, and in Gaza, marking 6 months. Nabil Biagio reports from Washington.
In his Eid al-Adha message, UN Chief Antonio Guterres decried conflict and hunger in Sudan and Gaza.
This is the day in which every year I express to the Muslim community all over the world my wishes of Eid Mubarak. But my heart is broken to know that in Gaza, in Sudan, and so many other places, because of conflict and hunger, so many Muslims will not be able to celebrate it properly.
It will be 1 year on Monday since fighting broke out between the Sudanese army and the paramilitary rapid support forces. Today, over 25 million people face a humanitarian crisis, according to the UN. Speaking in Geneva, Olga Serrado, a spokesperson for the UN Refugee Agency, said the crisis in Sudan has spilled over into neighboring South Sudan, Chad, Egypt, and Ethiopia.
As the war in Sudan continues to rage, with the country and its neighbors dragged into one of the largest and most challenging humanitarian and displacement crises in the world. The number of Sudanese forced to flee has now surpassed 8.5 million people, with 1.8 million of them crossing borders.
Marie-Hélène Vernier, the UNHCR representative in South Sudan, said the country is overwhelmed with a large influx of refugees and returnees from Sudan.
635,000 people have arrived to South Sudan since 15th of April last year, and that represents more than 5% of the population of South Sudan. So I think if we want to make a comparison, if we're talking about Germany, that would be 4.5 million people arriving in 1 year, in less than 1 year. And if we're talking about the United States, that would be 17.6 million people arriving in less than 1 year.
The daily average of arrivals in South Sudan since April 15th is 1,800 every day, according to UNHCR, the UN Refugee Agency. Vernier echoed what many South Sudanese analysts and observers have pointed out regarding the devastating consequences of Sudan's conflict on South Sudan's economy, especially the oil sector.
In the past months, the economic situation in the country has deteriorated even further because the oil pipeline, South Sudan does produce oil, but it doesn't refine oil. And so all the oil that is produced in South Sudan goes to Sudan for refining and exporting. Since last month, that oil pipeline has been closed because Sudan is no longer able to maintain it due to the conflict. This has had a massive impact on the economy of South Sudan, the entire country, with incredibly rapid inflation of the South Sudanese pounds and just generally speaking, a lack of revenue getting into the country.
Despite the magnitude of the humanitarian needs, UNHCR says funding remains critically low. The 2024 Regional Refugee Response Plan is only 7% funded, a similar situation with the Humanitarian Response Plan for Inside Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudanese living in South Sudan celebrate Eid al-Fitr. That story is coming up after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Our words of wisdom for this Wednesday comes from Western Equatorial State.
A very good evening to VOA Africa. My name's Tomoyo David. I'm having a proverb in Zande language. It reads, "Ina sangangana kuligoyote," which means you cannot do bad to those who raise you up, who take care of you, for you to become whom you are, or you don't harm them. That is the meaning of the proverb.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Some Sudanese living in South Sudan's capital, Juba, say the holy month of Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr is not the same for most of them, who are celebrating without their families. The Sudanese refugees say the conflict in their country divided families, with some taking refuge in South Sudan, Uganda, Chad, and Egypt. Juliana Shiapai has more for VOA from Juba.
Sudan's ongoing conflict that erupted nearly a year ago forced hundreds of thousands of families to flee their home country. Sudanese Musa Mohammed now lives in Juba. He says he is happy to celebrate Eid al-Fitr in Juba, where the weather is good, noting the recent heat waves that hit parts of South Sudan, prompting the government to close schools. But Mohammed says he misses celebrating Eid al-Fitr in Sudan.
Feel just fast away from your family, from your relative, from your parent particularly. So you just feel you miss some closure, you know. And no closure better than the parent, you know, parental closure. But otherwise, yeah, you feel the same thing. Yeah, like many different type of friends that you can find, particularly Sudanese people. And the last and the important difference is that, you know, the way that people, like, do their Eid, you know, we are only a group of people that going to just perform their prayer.
Amna Bargo, another Sudanese living in Juba, says she feels safe in South Sudan even though life can be difficult in a foreign land.
The difficulty is someone is living and cooking alone. All the Sudanese way of cooking and eating things like posho and the fan with all the sweet and savory meals. But all is well because the fasting season is over. May God accept our fasting, and we are glad to be in Juba between the people here.
Sudan has multiple cultures and religious festivities. Eid al-Fitr is one of the most religious celebrations, where families and friends come together to share meals, exchange gifts, and visit each other. Sudanese photographer Ramah Al-Zubair, who has lived in Juba for 7 months, says life can be tough in the capital, but observing the holy month of Ramadan was a lifetime experience for him in South Sudan.
First time to fasting in Ramadan here in South Sudan. For me, the difference between Sudan and South Sudan in Ramadan exactly, it's here we are far away from our family. The way of facing Ramadan here, the faces is very, the people, we are very afraid like how the weather will be like, look like, and things like that. But when we start fasting Ramadan, all the things are going better and better. The first day is very hot, but after 10 days, everything is going to be better. All the things, there's no a big challenge there, but just the weather.
Last week, South Sudan's Ministry of Labor declared 3 days holiday to mark Eid al-Fitr across South Sudan from April 9th to the 11th. Work resumes on Friday. For VOA News, I'm Juliana Shapai. In Juba.
Still on Eid al-Fitr, in Gabon, Christians join Muslims this week to pray for peace as the country holds a month-long national dialogue intended to pave way for military leaders to transfer power to civilian government. Eid al-Fitr prayers Wednesday marked the end of the holy month of Ramadan. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Cameroon.
Music hailing Allah as the creator of the universe, owner of life and solution to all problems, blast through loudspeakers at the central mosque in Gabon's capital Libreville on Wednesday. Clerics say among the approximately 700 civilians who attended this year's Eid al-Fitr prayers in the mosque were scores of Christians invited to pray for peace in Gabon. Jani Babangana is the Grand Imam of Muslims in Gabon.
C'est pour moi ici l'occasion.
He tells Gabon's State TV that during prayers he launched an appeal for reconciliation, peace, temperance, and internal harmony among Gabon citizens who are anxiously looking forward to changes at the helm of the government. He says civilians who are waiting for the government to improve their living conditions should also bear in mind that it is a prescription in the Holy Quran to respect state authority. Babakena said both Muslims and Christians should celebrate Eid al-Fitr as a sign of fraternity, interreligious tolerance, and living together in peace, despite the challenges Gabon is currently facing. The faithful who gathered for prayers say the country has suffered a crime wave, including theft, assault, and highway robbery, since transitional president General Brice Clotaire Oligui Nguema ordered the release of over 500 prisoners in late March. The general seized power from President Ali Bongo in a bloodless coup last August. Oligui said he took control to improve living conditions in the oil-producing nation because its citizens remained poor during the 56 years of leadership by Ali Bongo and his father Omar Bongo. Gabon's civil society group says the Central African state now faces the challenges of a transition to civilian rule. A transitional charter introduced by the general last November bars all members of the current government from becoming candidates in presidential elections, with the exception of Oligui. This month, Oligui launched what is billed as an inclusive national dialogue, which he said will prepare an economic blueprint and a calendar to organize elections that will hand power to civilians. Bruno Nguema Ela, the president of Gabon's citizens in the diaspora, took part in Eid al-Fitr prayers. He says opposition and civil society want General Oligui to assure civilians that he will not hang on to power.
La volonté du président de transition.
He says Gabon's diaspora is happy with efforts Oligui put in to stop the Bongo dynasty from maintaining its grip on power, and adds that the transitional government should make sure it hands power to civilians, without which Gabon may sink into social unrest and political crisis. Freeman Maurice Nguema is one of the spokespersons with the commission that will lead discussions on the Central African state's political institutions in Gabon's national dialogue. He says ever since he seized power, transitional president General Brice Clotaire Oligui Nguema has been committed to providing Gabon with functional state institutions before handing power to constitutional order. He says Oligui wants Gabon to be a peaceful country where democratic choices and rights and liberties of civilians are respected. The transitional government says that Christians joined Muslims in feasts in towns and villages across the Central African state. Across the Central African state this week, Muslim clerics say that nationwide prayers were for peace and return to constitutional order without chaos. Moki Edwin Kinsuka, VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
That piece by Moki Edwin Kinsuka brings us to the end of our show for this Wednesday, April 10, 2024. We now leave you with the song Nyama Choma by Sam Mapangala. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't miss our special coverage on 1 year of Sudan's darkest moment. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer Rob McLean, we wish you a lovely evening. And we also wish our Muslim listeners Eid Mubarak. Upon the end of the day.